Blog Talk Radio.
Can I make you put your phone down? Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being moved. Now I believe. Now I can see that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. Now I believe, 'cause now I can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. You got it. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. You'll say, 'cause we need a move. We need a move.
Let me do that verse again, baby. And bodies are still being raised.
Come and do what you do. We are here for you.
heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. 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 Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. Thank you. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
I lift my hands in total adoration unto you.
Come on, say it. You reign on the throne.
You reign on the throne. For you are God.
Grateful, Lord.
I can see.
Amen, amen. I love you, Jesus. I cannot make it without you. First, give honor to God, who's the head of my life. Welcome, welcome to World Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday. I am super excited. My sister in Christ is going to come on and give a word from the Lord. Remember, God loves you. Don't you ever forget that. Keep pushing through and standing on the word of God. Don't ever lose focus. Don't ever fail. Know that God is on the throne, and he got you 100%. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer. You must press 1 when you dial in if you need prayer. You're not in this fight by yourself. Don't forget that. We are praying and interceding for you on this side of the globe. Keep going through. Know that Lord, the Lord loves you, and so do we. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be right back, and I will be bringing the woman of God on. Get your pen and your paper together. When I'm telling you, the woman of God has a word from the Lord just for you. Get your pen and paper. Get ready to hear this word. We'll be right back after this musical break, and the woman of God will be on. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak. All of you need prayer. Make sure you press 1 when you dial in if you want to speak to the woman of God or if you have a prayer request. Good morning, good morning. Remember, this is World Gospel Connection, Women's Day Thursday. I'm super excited. My sister in Christ is back on to deliver a word. So I'm presenting some, introduced to others, none other than apostle, prophetess, the giant killer, Apostle Rachel. Good morning, woman of God. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm going on mute. The floor is yours. I'm ready to eat this morning.
Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we bless you. God, we honor you. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for what you have done. God, we want to take out this time for thank you for thanking you for brand new mercies, God, that are renewed every morning. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that your spirit becomes alive, even at a greater measure. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that we particularly carry the anointing that destroys the yoke. We particularly and strategically and targetedly carry the anointing that looses the bounds. We thank you in advance for the anointing standing up that sets captive free. We thank you on this morning that there is a word with precision and clarity that will bring your people into a placement and in alignment to your will for our lives. We thank you in advance for you being God and you being God alone. We thank you for a word spewing out of the mouth of your servant, coming to, like a two-edged sword, coming for healing and deliverance. We thank you in advance, God, that in this hour, in this time, and in this season, that so much is going on, that, Father, you would have your way. And we thank you that not only you would have your way, and that you would throw your weight around, and we thank you that you would do only what you can do. We give you all of the glory in advance. We thank you and give you all the praise in advance. We bless you and we give you honor in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look to the Lord on this morning, I first of all want to thank the man and the woman of God for allowing the servant of God to mount the platform. It is indeed an honor and a pleasure every time we get to open our mouths, those of us that preach this gospel, because God did not allow it. Have to allow it to be so. And so as we look unto the Lord, as I was presented with this particular assignment, I said, God, what do you want me to say to your people? And the Spirit of the Lord begins to tell me that my people need to know whether or not they are in the right place, whether or not they are in the right placement with Father. You know, sometimes we hear from the prophet, sometimes we hear from the televangelists. We go and we get on the phone and we hear from our prayer partners and those who we are up under, who we seek counsel from. But there are those times in our lives that we don't really understand whether we're going to the left or whether we're going to the right. There are times in our lives where life has come and tried to trickle its ugly, horrible rain down on us. And it seems as though we don't know which way to go. And God said to tell you on this morning that sometimes the confusion is placed on you for you to be where you are topsy-turvy. But on this morning, God wants to let you know, the question comes to mind, are you in the right place? If you have your Bibles, please turn to John's Gospel. Are you in the right place? Please turn to John's Gospel, John chapter 20. Are you in the right place? Now, on the first day of the week, starting at the first verse, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. And while it was still dark, this means about 4 to 3 to 6 in the morning, round about the breaking of day, and saw the stone had been removed from the lifting out of the groove across the entrance of the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, whom Jesus tenderly loved, and said to them, "They have taken away our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid." Upon this, Peter and the other disciples came out and they went towards the tomb. They came running together. If they came running together, people of God, this means that they were separate from her. This means that she was by the tomb by herself. This means she was in a place where she was patient. Let's move on. They came running, fourth verse, they came running together. But the other disciples outran Peter and arrived at the tomb first. And stooping down, he saw linen cloth lying there, but he did not enter. When Simon Peter came up following him, went into the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there, but the burial napkin slash handkerchief, which had been around Jesus' head, was not lying with the other linen cloths, but was still rolled up, wrapped around and around in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went in too. And he saw and was convinced and believed. For as yet they did not know or understand or perceive yet the statement of the scripture in Psalm 16:10 that says that Jesus must rise from the dead again. Then the disciples went back again and to their homes and lodging there. But Mary remained standing outside the tomb sobbing. And she began to stoop down and looked onto the tomb. And she saw two angels while sitting there, one at the head of Jesus and the other one at the body where he lay. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you sobbing?" She told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." On saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know or recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying so? For whom are you looking?" Supposing that it was a gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him away here, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabbi," which means teacher or master. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me. Do not hold me. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to your God and to my God." Away came Mary bringing the disciples news or a word that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Then on the same first day of the week, when it was evening, so the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be unto you." We were living in a time where it seems as though we don't understand what is going on. When we look around, there is hell all around us. There are people living lascivious lifestyles. There are people living a mindset under a mindset that suggests I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, and in the way that I want to do it. And yet we call on the name of the Lord. And yet we get frustrated with the Lord. And yet we have the litigated gall to be upset with the Lord. When the Father is saying and asking and posing us a question, are you in the right place? There are many, many of us in the body of Christ. There are many of us in the secular world that are presented to be where we know where we're going. We know what we're doing. We know where our up is from our down. We know where our beginning from our ending. We have put forth the blueprints of our life. We wrote our plans. We made sure that everything was set in place. But still and yet, when we came to an understanding and look at ourselves in the mirror, we still dealing with depression. We still being oppressed by the hand of the enemy. We are still don't know what is going on in our life, and we're trying to figure out whether the prophet came and prophesied. Well, as I know I heard from the Lord, there was nobody that came in when I was fasting. There was nobody that came in and whispered in my ear. I made sure that my ear gates was closed. I made sure that all of my emotions were in a place where I could hear from the Spirit of God. Why is this not happening for me like it was predestined for it to happen? I have went and did vision boards. I have made sure that all of my monies were set in place, and I still pose and ask God a question. God, why is this happening to me? And then we have the nerve to be in a place where we are frustrated and flustered because we do not understand why the thing that God said was going to happen, why is it not being set in place and on the move? Well, we find here our sister Mary. We find Mary Magdalene where she's in a position where they have just crucified Christ. We find Mary Magdalene where she's in a position where she's saying, I've walked with the Savior. I've had dinner with the Savior. I watched the Savior do mighty miracles. I watched the Savior teach after teach after teach word, and these things come to pass. I've watched him do insurmountable things that man cannot have an equivalent with their mind that another man is doing. Why is he dead? Why is the thing that was the promise to me, why does it look like that he's dying? Why the thing that was made, that said it was going to come and save me? So you got to understand, people of God, that the people that were in biblical times, they had only but one promise. And the one promise was that the risen Savior was going to come, that there was going to be a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, that was going to be the true and the one King. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah chapter 9. It said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and of his government there shall be no end. And she trying to figure out if the Old Testament prophets have prophesied this, and he's come to pass. Why, if everything around me looks and points to him dying, he has told us and taught us mystery about him being raised from the dead. He has told us that he was the Son of God. How many of you out there have been in a position where the Lord promised you something, where you know you heard from the Lord, and in you knowing that you heard from the Lord, it looks like that very thing that is dying or is dead? I know they said that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to a purpose, but it looks like it's dying or it's dead. I know that they said if you but wait and trust in the Lord, that you would run and not be weary, and that you would walk and not faint. But that thing still looks like it's dead. I understand that they said that God said he had a plan for you to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. But it still looks like that thing is dying or is dead. Well, I want to present to you all today that our sister Mary, even though she was sobbing, even though Mary was in distress, even though Mary was in a position where she seemed like, oh God, I'm on the verge of depression, if not depressed. If you think about the word sobbing, it means crying uncontrollably. She was sobbing at the tomb of Jesus, and it looked like everything around her was going to be at a place called stop, at a place called this is the end. How many of you out there seem like you in a place where it say this is the end? Maybe God didn't have it for me. You know, sometimes time we go back and we say it, we renege on what our faith is with God. We're trying to go have a conversation and say, maybe God didn't have that for me. Maybe this is not the thing that God has. Maybe somebody prophesied a lie. Maybe I did not hear from the Lord. Maybe that God is passing over me. Maybe I'm having a Job experience. But this is what I love about Mary. Mary postured and positioned herself in the right placement. When you begin to read the scripture, the Bible says that Mary was already there, that she had been there at the dark time of the night. That she was there when nobody else was there. She was standing there patiently as she was waiting. In her waiting, I can only imagine like the enemy does us. In our waiting on the Lord, he begins to speak to us and say, yes, you've been waiting on it for 5 years. Yes, you've been waiting on it for 2 years. You've been waiting on it for 3 years. It's going on year number seven. It's not going to happen. It looks like it's dying. It's going on year number 10. You might as well close the chapter on this book. But Mary stayed in position. She held fast to the position of her faith. I want to encourage you all this morning to hold fast to the positioning of your faith. For in the positioning of her faith, it said, even though I am sobbing, even though I am crying uncontrollably, there is a word down on the inside of my belly that says, he that come will come. And I, even though it seems like the Roman soldiers won and that they killed her Savior, she still stood by. And she stood by when no one was around. This lets me know that when they crucified Jesus, there was a crowd of people that even followed to the tomb. She stayed when everybody walked away. She was remaining faithful when nobody was around. And she stayed in a placement. What is your place? Are you in your right place? Are you in the right position? Are you standing there believing God no matter what? See, the scripture says that she was sobbing. That means she was uncontrollably crying. That means that there was a way for doubt, but she still stood. That mean, well, that was a way for mind turmoil, but she still stood. That mean that was a way that the enemy began to speak to her mind, but she still stood. And the Bible said, I'm in John's gospel, the 20th chapter, and the Bible said that when she went and told the disciples that she had had an encounter, if you back it up a little bit, she had an encounter with two angels. One angel was at the head of her feet, and the other angel was at the head, was at the head of her, of his head. What is that saying? That is saying that even though she was sobbing, the encounter that she had with the angels let her know that one was at the feet of Christ, one was at the head of Christ. That even though it seems like the promise is not there, it's supernaturally on the way, because it was taste and the supernatural in the middle of that cave, in the middle of that tomb. And so she went and went to tell the disciples. She went to tell her other brothers, hey, look at here, the promise is on the way. Look at here, the promise is coming. I don't know where it's at. I don't know what's going to happen. And so the Bible said that she went and told them, I cannot find the promise, but I believe it. I don't even know if it's coming, but I believe it. I know that it looks for me to be crazy, for me to be the only person that is there and crying, for me to be the only person that stood by the tomb, but it's coming. I know that right now I'm sobbing uncontrollably, but I need you to come and see this tomb, because even though it looks like it's not there, I guarantee you it's coming. And so the Bible said that she went and she told her other discipled brothers, and that they ran to see, wait a minute, young lady, what you talking about? Wait a minute, girl, what you talking about? And the Bible said that when she went Bless the name of the Lord. The Bible said that when she went, thank you, Father, to go and talk to, thank you, Lord, to her brothers, they went and ran to go see what she was talking about. I'm here to present to you that the promise that God has placed upon your life, when you put yourself in a position that you can hear, not hear from your flesh and what you think, not hear from what somebody else's opinion, but in the midst of your sobbing, in the midst of your murmuring, in the midst of your complaining, that down on the inside of your belly, that there is a faith that cannot be moved. There is a faith that is rooted and grounded in the inside of your body that says, though I got doubt, I still got faith. And it let me know that Mary Magdalene had doubt and she had faith. How many of you are in a position right now that you got doubt and you got faith? You said, God, for me to write it down, I'm going to go get the supplies for my business. I went to go make sure that it was legit. I went and did everything that I needed to do for my ministry. I went and did everything that I need to do to set up everything. I don't see it, so I got a little doubt. But because you said it, I got the faith to believe that it's going to be all right. And so the Bible said that Mary went and the disciples ran after her. The Bible said that Simon Peter, the rock of the church, was the last to arrive. And they looked at her like she was crazy. And they said, girl, I don't know what you talking about, but we know that you've been here. And maybe you just a little bit emotional, but we're going to go on back to the house. How many of you been in a position where the people said, bro, you tripping right now. I know you want this, and I won't know you want that, but maybe it's just not your time. Girl, let me holler at you as your sister and your friend. I know you said that God said, and I kind of believe that God said it, but wait, you just need to wait on it to see if it's going to come. And the Bible said that when Jesus was in a position where he was able to show himself to Mary, the Bible said that she saw him for herself, and he said, wait a minute, don't touch me. Here is the significance. He said, wait a minute, don't touch me. I have not ascended yet. He said, wait a minute, don't touch me. I have not established my feet sitting on the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? Even though you can see it, stay in a position until God say go. Even though you can see it, stay in a position where you can hear from God for the next instruction. Even though you can see it and it's tangible. Many of you, the position that you're in, you're ready to do ready, set, go. You're ready to go march, set, ready, go. And God said, stay in the position. Even though you got the money in the bank, there is a strategy that I got that I want to talk to you about. I want to wake you up in the midnight hour and begin to speak to you. And the Bible said that Jesus said, don't touch me. Many of us in this modern day would have got offended. Many of us in this modern day would have said, who Jesus think he is? Many of us in the modern day would have been talking noise under our breath. Many of us in the modern day would have said how we felt to his face. But Jesus said, don't touch me. I have not established myself. And yet, in other words, if you touch me now, if you put your flesh hands on me, you may mess up the whole plan. If you touch me now, hey, you may mess up all of my beating. If you touch me now, you may mess up all of the suffering. If you touch me now, you may mess up all of the teaching. If you touch me now, you may mess up all of the rejection. Stay in position. Stay in position. What place are you in? Are you in the right place? And so Mary had to check her excitement. Mary had to check her flesh, and she had to put herself
in a place that said, okay, I'll be obedient. Many of you out there, God is saying, don't go forward right now. We got pastors and preachers. We got evangelists and prophets. We got teachers and apostles. And 1 week on Tuesday, you've been appointed to be an apostle. And on Thursday afternoon evening, you're having your service. Just because God said that this is supposed to be right now, there is a waiting period. There is a period where you're being taught to stay in your place, stay in your position. And so the Bible said that they did not believe. That the disciples did not believe. You see, there is a controversy on whether Mary Magdalene was a disciple of Jesus or not, or whether she was one of the 12. Yes, because she was a woman. Yes, there is controversy. But hear ye yet, and to know the one that carried the word is able to deliver the word. If I am not woman, and I am not able to carry the word, how be it so? That I'm not able to deliver the word. And they didn't believe anything that this feeble woman had to say. They didn't believe anything that this weaker vessel had to say. And so the Bible said that they went back to the house, because they were still living in fear of the Jews attacking them. They went back to the house because they was living in fear. They didn't want no more smoke. They was good. They was chilling at the house. And the Bible said that the door was closed. The Bible said that the door was closed. But the Bible said that Jesus walked through the wall and said, look at me, here is the nails in my hand. Here is the nails in my feet. And there is a representation that even though you're toiling and you're tattering with your disbelief, even though you're toiling and your mindset is going back forth, that the promise is not going to be, I'm going to walk in that thing, said God. I'm going to step in the midst of your life to that thing that seems impossible. I'm going to step in the midst of that thing that everybody says, I don't believe that it's gonna happen. I'm gonna step in the middle of that thing that everybody said, I hear you talking, but ain't nobody walking. I have, because you stayed in position. You see, Mary Magdalene did not try to run after them and convince them. She just let God do what he do and what he do best. In this time and in this hour and in this season, we are preaching a gospel that says, if you but hold on, God's going to do it. We are preaching a gospel that says everybody's going to prosper. We are preaching a gospel that says everybody, God's going to do it if you do what you're supposed to do. But nobody is saying that sometimes we doubt and we murmur and complain. Nobody is saying that sometimes we get confused and we have an oath against God. Nobody is saying that sometimes our humanistic emotionalism takes precedence over what God is saying. But if you remain in your place, if you remain in your position, that when he wakes you up in the midnight hour and you begin to call on the name of Jesus and he begins to answer, if you begin to call on him, man and woman, boy and girl, hey, cat and dog, ruff, ruff, and meow. If you begin to call on the name that's above every name, the name that demons tremble, that they have no choice and they must bow, and he gives you a prophecy. This means he speaks to you audibly. I'm talking about not by third party, because when we get prophecies from prophets, that's by third party. Yes, God is speaking, but it's something else different. It's a whole nother level when God begins to speak to you in your prayer time. It's a whole nother John Henry with an axe hammer in his hand. When you're driving in your car, God begins to interrupt your driving course. Siri is talking. Her waves and the GPS are talking. And in the midst of it, God begins to speak. That's a whole nother ball game. And you're so excited stunned, and then you hit a ruckus in the middle of the road of life, and it makes you be in a mindset that it seems like God is not going to come through. Have you ever been in a position where you know that God said he was going to do it, but in the midst of it, it seems like the enemy's talking or outweighing what God is saying? You heard the scripture that says, he that has become the good work has begun a good work inside of you shall perform it unto the day of his coming, and you read it and you believe it. But as there were times where your mind, again, I reiterate from earlier, becomes topsy-turvy, I want you to be like Mary. I want you to be like Mary. And even though you're crying, you're still believing. Even though you're in turmoil, you still believe. Even though it seems like it's not going to happen, you still believe. And when you believe, I'm here to tell you that God is going to give you through three supernatural experiences. The first supernatural experience, and the second supernatural experience is going to come by way of angelic enforcement. Why are you crying, woman? The risen Savior is going to rise. And the second, which is really the third supernatural experience, is going to be Jesus himself. Coming through the wall, coming through all the obstacles, coming through wall, coming through all the naysayers, coming through the wall, coming through all of the talking of the enemy, coming through the wall, disintegrating the warfare in your mind, coming through the wall. Here is Jesus disintegrating all of your emotionalism. Here is Jesus. Here it come, here it come, here it come. Coming through all of the things that you think about what's going to happen in your life, and he comes supernaturally through that thing which seems like human beings are not supposed to go through, through that thing that flesh is inoperable to go through, and he comes through it. I'm here to encourage you on Women's Thursday that the person that's out there in radio land, you must understand and to know, you must be assured with confidence that even in the midst of your sobbing, you are in the right place. Even in the midst of the warfare of the mind, even in the midst of the warfare of your emotions, you are in the right place. And the Spirit of the Lord says, be encouraged, because everything that was against you, every insurmountable obstacle that came against you, every onslaught and demonic attack that came against you, you still keep in the faith. You still rest in the arms of God, knowing that he that will come shall come, and he's coming with rewards in his hand. But there is a contingency. Oh yes, there is a contingency. You must stay in position. You must stay in the right place, and this right place is on your faith. This right place is looking in the mirror and acknowledging the negative. This right place is looking in the mirror and doing self-inventory, so that when he comes, he will come and present purity to purity. See, a lot of times in life, we want something and we ain't in the right place to be where we need to receive it. We want what God got for us, but we still cussing with one side of our mouth. Hey, and on the other side of our mouth, we are blessing. Hey, we are in a position where sometimes God want to give it to us, but on one side of our mouth we got doubt, and on the other side of our mouth we got positivity. The Bible said it like this: bitter and sweet cannot flow from the same fountain. The Bible said it like this: that we have not because we asked. We ask not. He said, no good thing that we would have from them that you love, but that he loves. But I here to tell you, you got to stay in the right place. You got to stay in the right position. It does not matter if the disciples or your prayer partner, if the disciples or your pastor, if the disciples or your family, if the disciples or your friends, if the disciples or your frenemies, if they believe it or not, Jesus is stepping on the scene for his people because you are in the right place and you're in the right position. What is your position? Are you in the right place? And Mary came to find out that even though she was a woman, even though it seems like she shouldn't fit, even though she stuck out, because all of the 12 were men, she still stood in a place that said, I'm carrying the good news. So now that I'm carrying the good news, I'm going to project the good news. And it was because she said what she felt in her heart to say. It was because she said the instructions that Jesus had given her to say. Tell them that I have risen. Tell them that I, being the promise, I'm going to present myself. I know that they saw me getting beat. I know that they saw me in an inoperable situation. But I yet live. It was because she was obedient and she stayed in a posture of obedience and she stayed in a posture of a placement of hearing from God and in prayer. The Spirit of God begins to take his son. The Bible said that he went and he taught the disciples one last time and he was ascended to be with the Lord on the right hand of the Father. And so I just want to encourage every man, every woman, every boy and every girl on this morning to hold fast to the promises of God. Even though the enemy is coming in and saying what he's saying, even though we have people around us that are doubtful, even though sometimes we doubt ourselves, we doubt the word of God because the longevity of the thing is taking too long, Lord. When is it going to come? I'm flustered, I'm frustrated, and I'm tired. If he said it, he's going to do it. And he's going to put you in a place that everybody around you know it, if you but stay in your position. God bless you and thank you is my prayer. We're in the hands of the Adorator. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. What a word, and it's confirmation for myself, because we all get weary at some point of time in this walk. This walk is not easy. Many want the walk at the call, but it's not easy. I thank you again for coming on, woman of God, and delivering that word. Father God, I ask you to pour back into your daughter what she poured out this morning. Continue to cover her and guide her in the right direction. Continue to cover her son from both of their heads to the soles of their feet. They are healed in the name of Jesus. We know the weapon may fall, but it will not prosper in her life. Doors is beginning to open that no man could even think about opening for her. Continue to bless her in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle, let the people know how they can reach you if you have any upcoming events so they can connect with you.
Amen, amen. Well, as of right now, I am still, to be transparent, I'm still in a grieving process due to the death of my husband, and so I'm not really doing a lot of ministry. It's because I love you and your husband as I stepped out of my placement to do so. And I'm asking that you still keep me and my son in your prayers. I'm not really doing a lot, but they can look for me on all social media outlets. I am Rachel Deborah. If you type me in, you can Google me. You can Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I'm all over the place. I try to be. And I am very humble, and I answer statements, questions, answer prayers. I pray. Because I have an understanding that I cannot do this without God. And so if you reach out to me, I will reply. I may not reply right then, but you will get a message back from me. I am a touchable woman of God. And so I just want to thank everyone who has listened and joined in, and I pray that you were blessed by the word of God, and you will play. I pray that you were blessed by what the Spirit of God spoke through his servant. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you so much for coming on. I'm not going to hold you up much longer because you need to get your rest. Remember, people of God, if you want to talk to the woman of God, text me, 346-419-2529. To Apostle Kashima, how can I get contact with Apostle Rachel? I want to talk to her. I want to come visit. It is not a problem. Just like Chief and I say this all the time, this is about kingdom business, building the kingdom. It's not about him, nor myself, nor her. All about glorifying God. Remember, you can reach me at 346-419-2529. You want to connect with her. If you didn't get the replay, let me know. I will send it to you. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in her life as well as our life as well as yours. Keep pushing through, people of God. Keep pushing through. We're going to go to a musical break. Thank you again so much for coming on. May the Lord continue to bless you and guide you in the right direction.
Thank you.
All the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight that he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one that got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
everyone
else around me
can only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When God walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
can only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl. And that he is mine.
Yeah.
raise your hand and witness tonight. That may be somebody else's testimony. Help me say it, help me say it.
He saw the best in me.
Everyone else around me.
With everyone else around.
Oh. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best.
Yeah, girl. Is there anybody in here tonight that's so very thankful that God did not write you off? That he did not throw you away? That he picked you up? And I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did. But he only sees me who I am. Ooh, Lord. Yeah. He's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me. I am. Sing it one time. We're going to go past it. He is mine. Oh, oh, oh.
He's mine. And I
am.
Ooh. It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
And the reason why he sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
And I'm
it doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me.
He only sees me for who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, it won't be the creation. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and your soul. Yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah. And he can mend a broken
heart. He can mend your broken heart.
He has
the miracle to fix your need.
Won't you trust?
Won't you trust him?
Oh, you will receive. About the situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your need, go tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah.
He has mended my broken
head. Oh,
gave me a miracle.
Just to fit
my knees.
Can I get a witness in here? Let me lift your hands and say. Outstanding, wait on the Lord and be a good servant. Because you said you're stripping my
right where you are. Come on and tell him.
Amen, amen. The overcoming scripture is Romans 10:9. It says, you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God knows what you did, and he forgave you. Now it's time for you to forgive yourself. Now it's time for you to forgive yourself. I say this all the time. You don't have to know all 66 books of the Bible. You don't have to speak in tongues. But you can know that the Lord has you 100%. You can lift your hands up and say, Father God, I've tried it my way and it has not worked. I surrender my life to you. It's just that simple. Now would you surrender your life? It's not going to be easy. The enemy is going to go into full effect because you left his side. Now you get with people that can help push you and intercede for you and pray with you. Let me give you these three keys. One, find your church home. If you go online, visit, that's fine. You're definitely welcome to join us at the Abba House International with Chief Apostle Daniel Douglas and myself, Apostle Kashima Douglas, at 6705 H Street, H-A-I-G-H-T Street, Houston, Texas, 77028. At 11:30 every Sunday. Two, get you a Bible. Whether it's King James or NIV, get you a Bible. This is necessary since you become a new creature in Christ. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is not only preaching the word, but that they are living the word. This is very critical in this new walk. These three things must line up. Church home, your Bible, and make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is preaching and walking the same thing. It's time for you to stand up and get in a position. Somebody's depending on you to get yourself right so they can see that if God can change you, he definitely can change them. Remember, this is not a no judgment zone. We're not trying to judge you, but we are on here to pray for you, intercede for you, push you, guide you, help you. In this word, remember, it's not about me or you. It's about kingdom building and telling somebody that don't know that the Lord loves them in spite of what they've been through. Remember, you can always reach us at 346-419-2529. Or you can go to World with Gospel Ministry on Facebook and say, Apostle, I need help. And you definitely will get it. Remember, we still have blessed all. It's not miracle soap, miracle water. It's blessed all, and it is free. The Lord have not told us nothing else otherwise. If you need it, let us know. If you're in the Houston area, we will meet you and give it to you. If not, we will sell it to you. Don't worry about what you did yesterday nor this morning. Focus on what you're doing right now. You surrender your life to Christ. And the Lord, thank you, because he woke you up this morning, not the alarm clock. He already knew who you were in your mother's womb. Push it through, and know the Lord will always provide. Remember, we're always here. If you need us, let us know. Don't forget to tune in for Man Up Monday with Chief Apostle Daniel Douglas Sr. And it's going to be all right. I hope you guys have a blessed, phenomenal day, and talk to you soon.